Good morning, Parkcrest. It's good to be joining you virtually. I trust you're doing well down there. And just going to bring you a message here that God's kind of put on my heart, and hopefully it's a blessing and a benefit to you in your lives as much as it's been to me in my life. And this message kind of came out of a devotional I was asked to do. I had a gathering with a number of it's kind of a Zoom meeting with a number of leaders, and out of that devotional, crafted a bit of a message, and so it's spoken to me in my walk with God, and so I hope it speaks to you in your walk. And it's a well-known story, well-known passage. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter 19, and 1 Kings 19, and we'll pick it up in verse 9, and it's the story of Elijah and about God appearing to, say, ministering to Elijah. Just a bit of the background of what's happened. Elijah has appeared, and God has begun using him as his prophet to speak to the nation of Israel, which has actually turned away from God and had been following the Baals, the idol worship of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And through Elijah, God, there's a famine in the land, and that leads to eventually a showdown on Mount Carmel. We know that story well, where Elijah challenges the 400 prophets of Baal to build an altar and see if Baal will answer and accept the sacrifice. Of course, not being a god, he doesn't. And then Elijah builds his altar, and God responds in a consuming fire. And Israel, in front of the whole assembly of Israel, they can see that God is the true God. And but what is so interesting is what happens next is that angry, there's a threat on the life of Elijah, and he runs. He runs away afraid, and even finds himself alone in the desert and prays and asks that God would take his life. Instead of answering that prayer, and there you go. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want because God knows best. That's a little nugget for you that yes, Elijah was known as a man just like us who prayed and God answered and listened to his prayer, whether it's for the rain to stop, the rain to start, for fire to come down from heaven. But in this instance, God did not answer Elijah's prayer for his life to end. Instead, he provided for him. He sent an angel with food to sustain him. He says, because the journey that I'm going to call you on is too much for you. And so twice that happens where Elijah eats, lies down, rests, eats, and then goes to Mount Horeb. And that's where we're picking it up now, where God has now brought Elijah to a place. Now God's going to meet and minister to Elijah. So let's pick it up there. 1 Kings 19, starting from verse 19, it says, well, I'll start verse 8. So it says, so he, that's Elijah, got up, ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram, I also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all those whose mouths have not kissed him. And so this is God's word, and this is the story of Elijah at Horeb. And I just like looking at it this way. If 1 Kings 18 is God ministering through Elijah, 1 Kings 19 is God ministering to Elijah. 1 Kings 18, God ministers through Elijah and the famine and the showdown with the prophets. And in 1 Kings 19, God ministers to Elijah by sustaining him and then speaking and revealing himself to him. And it's this second part of God ministry to Elijah that I want to look into and maybe learn some lessons together, and some lessons that I've learned. And there's three lessons that I think I want to learn, and there are three ways in which God ministers to Elijah. Three things that God knows Elijah needs in his life. And there are three things that we need in our lives. The first is God's presence. We see that God passes by. He says, my presence is going to be there. We need God's presence in our lives. That's primary. Second is partners. We're going to see that when we look at Elisha, he was saying, hey, I'm all alone. And God says, no, you're not. I'm going to send you to go anoint others. You're going to have partners in ministry. There's going to be others who are going to be doing my work. And the third is perspective. Elijah had his perspective, and God needed to correct his perspective, show him that there's things happening that he couldn't see. And so these are all three things that we need in our lives. We need God's presence, we need partners, and we need God's perspective in life. And so let's dig in. We're just going to unpack this just very briefly as we go through it. But one of the things, one of the verses I love most in the Bible, I think it's James chapter 5, verse 17, it says, just has this phrase. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah was a man just like us. That's, I think, an important thing to remember when we read scripture, when we read these people. They're people just like us. And yet God chose to and worked through them and in their lives. But they also had their weaknesses and their failures just like we do. And yet God still worked in and through them. And so I hope and I think that many of us can relate to Elijah, because after all, he is a person just like us. In fact, I think in different ways in our lives, we can relate to what was going on for Elijah. He'd seen God do a mighty work, and then instead of things getting easier for him, they get harder. And it brought discouragement and despair to him. And it's in that place that God showed up in his life. Perhaps you've had a similar experience. I remember one time, it's summer there for you guys. And I know some of you have been up at Morningstar and Anvil Island doing camp ministry. And I remember one time I was doing camp ministry. I was directing one of the camps up at Anvil Island. And it'd been a great week. Everything was going really well. And it was middle of the week. As I said, things were going well. There'd be no emergencies, no crises. We'd be hearing reports of, kids were accepting, turning to Jesus. Kids were being saved. Lots of great discussions with the leaders. And we were planning a couple of baptisms to be happening at the end of the week. And someone walked up and said, I need to talk to you, Steve. Within 5 minutes, I felt like they had told me everything that was wrong about everything that was going on at camp. It's just kind of one of those sucker punches. And I remember just sitting there listening to them and going, just kind of thinking, well, what's the point? I just had a moment, what's the point of keep on going on if every time something goes well, the only thing that's going to happen is that I'm going to have more problems, a bit of opposition, more things to deal with. And I just remember just sitting there going, you know, maybe I should take the Lions Bay boat back home tonight, because if this is what I have to deal with, I don't want to deal with it anymore. Now, maybe that's a bit of an overreaction on my part, but I think maybe many people here have had that experience where they, you know, you're going and you're doing something, whether it's, you know, ministry work for God or just helping someone out. And the repayment we get for what we do is, for good, we get evil. You know, for good, we get hardship. And, you know, and this is exactly what happened to Elijah. After seeing God work through him, what's he faced with? A threat on his life. And he comes to his end. He says, "That's it, God, take my life." But God meets him there, sustains him through that, and then gets him to this point where he can be ministered to. And it's just a reminder, too, that we need God to sustain us in life. We need God's help to get through life. We're not meant to get through on our own strength and in our own power. And that was certainly true for Elijah's life. And so at Horeb, God takes Elijah off to a place. And I think that's one of the first keys that I see here, is that sometimes God needs to move us. Sometimes God needs to take us aside to a place where maybe we can hear from him. And what does God give Elijah? What's the first thing? What's the first way he ministers to Elijah? Well, it's with his presence. It is so interesting. God speaks. He says, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah says, "You know, I'm doing." You know, he replies, and how does Elijah reply? Well, he just unloads on God. He says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And so Elijah gives God all of his gripes. He says, "This is what's going on. These are all the things." And he speaks in a way that I have as a danger for myself. You see, he speaks very much to me, them. And it's, I'm good, and look what's wrong with them. You know, and if ever we find ourselves thinking in this way, we need to bring this to God. If ever we see, well, I'm doing this and they're like that, why aren't they like me and I'm glad I'm not like them? This is a dangerous type of way to think. And we need to bring this before God, because he needs to speak into that, into our lives. But I love how God responds. He responds almost by not responding to what Elijah said. Rather, he said, "Okay, I've heard you, Elijah. You need to see my presence. You need to be in my presence." You know, I think this is true for us. We need to go and be in the presence of God. I remember that time up at Anvil Island where I had this conversation, and you know, I had the conversation and I just had to go, and I you know, just kind of had to take a few minutes off by myself later that day, and just kind of sat, brought these things up before God. I needed to just sit and be in his presence. And for me in that moment, it was just kind of just being reminded, well, there are some things that they said that, yeah, I hadn't noticed, but a lot of what they're saying, Steve, that's not how I see the situation, was the message I got, and encouraged me to keep going. But going back to Elijah, God doesn't respond by answering what Elijah said. He says, "What you need is to be in my presence." I find it amazing the contrast between how God manifests himself in Mount Carmel, where he came in a powerful, mighty way, and then here at Horeb, God comes in a different way, not in the powerful, mighty way, not in the fire, but in that still, small voice. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those two manifestations of God showing up are next to each other in Scripture. And so here God shows up, and shows up to Elijah, but in a very different way. I think it actually speaks a lot into where Elijah was in that moment. You see, God meets us where we are. God meets us where we are. And I think at that time we see in Elijah, he had this sense of, I don't see you working, God. You work really powerful, but in the next moment, I didn't see you consuming Ahab in fire. I know you can do it. Where were you at that moment? I'm done. It's almost like God's saying, just because I didn't show up like last time, just because it's not how you might have expected, doesn't mean I'm not here. And so God reveals himself in that still, small voice. And what's amazing is that the same interaction plays out where God then says to Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah's answer is the same. And in some ways, everything's the same, but now I think everything's different. You see, God's presence has drawn Elijah out of the cave. At the beginning of this passage, Elijah's in that cave. He's hiding. He wants to be alone. He's done. And yet God's presence passing by draws him out of the cave. I wonder what the tone of voice of Elijah was at that moment. We don't know. Did his tone change? Did maybe the first time he speak very like, this is what's wrong, God. I've been zealous for you. No one else has. Now they're trying to kill me. And now this time say, well, okay, God, I have been very zealous for you. And everyone else has turned away and they're trying to kill me. Maybe a bit of humility had creeped into the way God Elijah spoke this time. And so in some ways, everything's the same, but now everything is different. The presence of God in our lives changes everything. And we need to be practicing it daily in our lives. You see, when we're in the presence of God, he's able to minister to us. And part of that ministering, I think, is preparing us so that we can receive what he has to say. Sometimes maybe God holds back on saying what he wants to say because we need to first come and be in his presence, see who he is, understand a bit more that he is God and we are not. And so then God, after ministering to Elijah through his presence, ministers to him in a response. And God answers Elijah in two ways. He says, first thing you need is that I hear you. Your gripe is that you are all alone. But let me tell you, you are not alone. Not only am I still here, but there's others that I want you to call to join in the work that you are doing. If you remember last chapter, the result of what had happened at Mount Carmel was that the prophets of Baal had been put to death. And now God says to Elijah, now you go and anoint Jehu, you anoint Hazael, and you anoint Elisha, because they are going to keep on doing this work that I've begun through you. You need ultimately Elisha to be a partner in ministry, one who will succeed you. This is something else, a lesson that we all need to know in life and ministry, is that we're not meant to do life and we're not meant to do ministry alone. It's right there in Genesis. It's not good for man to be alone. But right through scripture, we see that God provides people to do ministry together. In the campus mission I'm part of, we're just doing a leader's Bible study, and we've been going through the book of 2 Timothy. And right at the end, Paul, right into Timothy, talks about the hardship of what it meant when people deserted him. But what we noticed, what we took out of it as a group, was that when Paul was on his journeys and when Paul was doing his ministry, he had a whole team of people who was there with him. He didn't go off on it alone, and he wouldn't have been able to do what he did if he had tried to do it alone. And so Paul had a team, and in fact, 2 Timothy, it ends with Paul saying, now, hurry up, try to get here before winter, make your way. I need other people to be with as I do the work that God's called me to do. And we need partners in ministry. That was that hard bit for Elijah, was that he felt he was alone. And God provided people, specifically Elisha, to join him in ministry, to see out his time in ministry. And so I want you to think about what you're doing in life. Do you have someone that you're doing it with? Ultimately, someone who can succeed you in doing what you are doing. I also want to put the shoe on the other foot, so to speak. Maybe you're sitting there and you see that, oh, so and so is doing that, and so and so is doing that, and they seem to be doing all right. Maybe they're just like Elijah. Yes, they're doing out and carrying out the work that God's given to them, but they're that then the rope, they're thinking, I the only one doing this? What's the point of me carrying on? What a way that you can minister to someone by saying, hey, is there a way I can help you in that? Hey, can I join you with this? Hey, I see you're doing that, but is there anything I can be doing also? We need each other to do this. Ministry is not meant to be done by one person alone, but we see that's how God speaks to Elijah, says, yep, you need to go. And in this case, Elijah, you need to go and you need to anoint them. You need to kind of commission them into the service with you. And of course, we can read about Elijah going to Elisha later on. I encourage you to do that. But the point is this: God knows that we need partners. We need to be doing this together. I'm so glad you're here at Parkrest this morning, that you're with other believers. We can't do this Christian life alone, and we need each other to help each other along the way, and also to carry the burden of doing ministry together along the way. And so God shows his presence. You're not alone, Elisha. I'm here. I'm still here. And also, there's others that I want you to partner with. And so think, if you are someone who has ministry, is doing ministry, who could you be tapping on the shoulder to say, hey, could you come help me with this? And then finally, the final thing that God speaks to Elijah, the final way that God ministers to Elijah, is God gives Elijah a full perspective, his perspective. Again, what had Elijah been saying? Says, I'm alone. Everyone else has gone away. And Elijah, or God ends by saying to Elijah, I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. Elijah's perspective on the situation ultimately wasn't an accurate perspective. He thought everyone had abandoned God, and yet God says, no, a remnant remains. You're not alone. There are others. Things aren't as bad as we often paint them. That's one thing I've been learning in my life, is that often I have a tendency to see the crisis, to see the worst possible scenario. There's a study done, I think it's out of one of the top universities. It's escaping my mind, in the States, that they found that 90% of the things that people worry about never come to pass. We have, as humans, this tendency to see the worst possible scenario, and sometimes we need God's perspective of saying, no, things aren't as bad as you paint them. I'm still here, and there's others too who are following me. And so in 1 Kings 19, we see God minister to Elijah. It's a reminder that in our lives, we need God to be ministering to us. We need to be seeking God's presence in our lives, to simply be with him, so that we can be ready to receive and hear from him of what he has for us to do. The final lesson I want to pass on from Elijah, one that I think some people need to hear sometimes, is God's not done with you. Elijah, he was at his end point. He wanted to die. He asked God, take me now. But God said, I'm not done with you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to provide for you. And now here's the work I have for you to do. It's to ultimately raise up that next generation, because there are others that I've reserved who are ready and willing to be used by me. And so my encouragement is that God's not done with you. Spend some time in his presence. Listen to what he might have you to do. Ask him who he might want you to be joining with, helping out, partnering with in ministry and in life. And in doing so, we can see that we're just part of this chain of people who are just like us, and Elijah, just like us, who, because God uses people just like us, just like Elijah, we can be a part of what God is doing in this world. God bless and have a great day.